so needed in, for me in my own study, where I need to be filled with the Word of God and I need to be filled with the Spirit of God so that I can be charged. You know, like it's our firearms check, right? When you go out and duty, got one in the chamber, right? Take out the taser, let it test, boom, lock and load, let's go. I'm charged, ready to go. And I'm realizing like all the stuff that we go through as first responders, we can apply to our Christian life. You know, like when a Christian says, let's put on the whole armor of God, and you've been a soldier, firefighter, or a cop, that takes on a whole different meaning. If you think about it, because it's like, wow, I need to put on the spiritual whole armor before I put on physical armor.
Hi, Michael. Oh man, we have been watching too much CrossFit, haven't we?
Too much.
Dude, I enjoy the games. I really do enjoy the games. And I'm excited that they still put them on YouTube. You know, that crap could have been on whatever sports channel. But
I think on the main events, it was on CBS.
Okay.
Because I think when they had the interviews, they had the crazy CBS logo. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
But I think a lot of people are used to watching it on YouTube.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I'm sure they get a lot of money for that. You know, I mean, it's.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of people watching that live. So, yeah. That was fun.
No.
I enjoy watching the games. I enjoy watching other people suffer while I sit down and eat, you know. So, it makes me happy.
I just enjoy watching.
You got like your double, 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 double. I see. And
oh my gosh, man, my 5x5, that was brutal. it was glorious, but brutal.
That's awesome. Well done. I'm sure you ate the whole thing. So good job.
Yeah.
Good. Cool. Let's talk about Whoopi Goldberg, because hey, what else do we have to talk about other than The View? You know, that group of highly educated, highly moral women.
Man, we're going to be kicked off already.
fact checkers.
Right.
Wait, was that sarcasm? So what I'm referring to, and Michael, I know you know what I'm talking about exactly, but what I'm referring to is this whole abortion. I don't even know if it's a debate. It's just spewing is what it is on that show. They just spew. And I don't need to get political, because this isn't political. But when a woman claims to be quoting the Bible, but takes it completely out of context, Michael, I know you're the same as me. I have what the Bible would call a great zeal for the Word of God. I absolutely loathe when people will use the Word of God and misuse it and misrepresent God. You know, and so what she did there was she misrepresented God, and I believe with all my heart that that is what the Ten Commandments says, you shall not take the Lord's name in vain.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're using the Lord's name and you're misusing it, that's exactly what you're doing. And she called herself, I don't even know if she called herself Christian, but she made some, she alluded to it anyway. And she said that, you know, we have free will, we have the freedom of choice, and God made us smart enough to make these decisions and blah, 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 you know. And here's the deal. This is not what the Word says. Okay, the Word does not say, because you can do unto others what you do unto you, what you would have them do unto you. Okay, that is what she said. And she's quoting Matthew 7, verse 12, where Jesus said, so, in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Which makes sense. And I think I kind of get what she was trying to say. I think she was trying to say, don't judge these people who are getting abortions. Let them do what they're going to do. It's saving their life and whatever they're, you know, trying to pass is their truth, quotes. But the fact of the matter is, when she said that, which I don't even think she realized she was saying this, what she's saying is, it's okay for them to kill a baby. So are you saying that it's okay for people to kill her? Do unto others? Is this you would have them do to you? I mean, it's ludicrous. And I don't want to get into the whole abortion thing. I'll just make it very clear. I am pro-life. I am not pro-death. A baby is an innocent human being, whether it's in the womb or out of the womb. And we have scripture to back that. David said in the Psalms, you knit me together in my mother's womb. Jeremiah, the Lord said that he, what did he say to Jeremiah? I went before you were born, I knew you, or something like that. Some of that effect.
Before you were in the mother's womb, I knew you.
Yeah, there you go. When he was anointing Jeremiah to be a prophet. And so we have throughout the Bible the fact that, you know what, preborn people are humans. So, and they're innocent, and it's our job to protect the innocent. That's one of the things we're supposed to do, especially as a cop. I swear to do that. Mm-hmm. My hand raised, right? But the fact of the matter is, when we say do unto others as you would have them do unto you, or very similar passage would be love your neighbor as yourself, that has been totally lost on people today. People are so selfish. People are so concerned with their own financial state, right? They want to climb financially. Mm-hmm. That's what so many people are focused on now. They want fame. I mean, how many, I don't like this term, how many millennials and pre-millennial or post-millennials, right? Gen Z, Gen X, whatever they're calling them now. How many of those aspire just to be Instagram famous or TikTok stars or whatever you call them? That's the drive anymore, is fame.
Mm-hmm.
And by any means necessary. So that's the issue that I take this on this podcast here. And I'm a little bit fired up about this. I'm tired of friendships being ruined, relationships being destroyed because people are so freaking selfish. Because they care more about themselves than they do about anybody else. There's so few people out there that actually care enough to go out of their way to take care of somebody else. You know, if somebody's hurting, to give them a call and share that pain with them, or to feed somebody who's hungry, you know, walk with somebody through a trial. I don't know. I hardly see that anymore. Everybody is just so self-focused. It's disgusting.
No, I think you, you know, you're saying everything that's currently going on in this world, you know, while you're talking, I was reminded of Proverbs 30. There is a generation that curses their father and does not bless their mother. There's a generation that are pure in their own eyes. I think that's what we're dealing with. And yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off of the earth, the needy from among men. Right? Let's not talk about the World Economic Forum idiots, right? You will have nothing and you will be happy with it, right? And
Agenda 2030.
And it's like, what in God's name are people think? I mean, it's, they're out there out in the open, you know? I don't know if you got a chance to catch today's podcast with Tom Hughes and Billy Crone.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Man, it was an eye opener. He's already coming out with a post-COVID documentary tying Klaus Schwab. You know, he's a descendant of Hitler.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I was tripping out. I was like, what? And then they're working on the Fourth Reich. But.
Oh, you're talking about the Fourth Industrial Revolution.
Yeah, but.
Same thing.
It's the same thing. The Fourth Reich. It's all,
same
all
thing.
An agenda. So anyways, yeah. I can get into that. But.
No, that's interesting. Maybe we'll post the link on the show notes here.
But I was thinking when you were talking about how, you know, today's generation is all about the unholy trinity, me, myself, and I. Right? It's all about me, right? Where, I get it. Businesses has to now hire someone to run social media for them because that's the way they're going to get money and notoriety, right? So you're going to have a social media account personnel or manager to run social media, look for, you know, young people to be on TikTok and Instagram, and that's their livelihood, and they think that's work, okay? Those that are successful in making money and have a living, kudos to you, you know? But something I realize is when you work with your hands, there's something about manual labor. It teaches you hard work, you know, because when the influencer, when the bottom runs out, when the company closes down and, you know, when crap hits the fan, or as, you know, Dan Bongino says, when there's a S in front of the hit, right? And when that all goes, what do you fall back on, right? Something that I've learned is if life fails, if something crashes within the next several weeks and I can't work at the church, I can't be a cop anymore or a firefighter because I'm too old and I don't want to deal with it, I go back to what I know to do is I work, right? God gave me hands. I'm going to work. And where I'm fearful of these younger generation that are just doing the influencing. Granted, there's a few that are trying to make an impact. Like, you know, they know they're social media influencers, so they're trying to do good for those that are less fortunate, you know? And like, I remember seeing some guy asking a guy, say, hey, can you spare, you know, $5 on my car ran out of gas? And he's asking a guy that you can tell he's not well off. And, you know, he's, I don't know if he was Hispanic or, you know, African American, but the guy reached in his pocket and he goes, hey, all I have is 10 bucks, but here you go. And, you know, there's a secret camera that, you know, he's being recorded. And he's like, are you serious? He's like, oh, I don't want to take your 10 bucks. He's like, hey, you know, this is a divine appointment. I don't know. Here's your $10. Hope you get gas and hope you get to your destination. And then he just like, well, I just want to turn around and just want to thank you. I'm doing an experiment how there's kindness on the streets. Not everybody is on the streets, you know, just to be poor because they're just being lazy. And so the guy turns around, rips out $1,000. Here you go. And the older gentleman just starts weeping. He's like, are you serious? You know, you're messing with me. So I know there's a handful of those, but a good portion.
Oh, I just remembered his name. It's Dawes, right?
Maybe it's that guy.
Dawes and D-A-W-S or something like that.
Something like that.
I've seen that.
So, you know, there's a handful of those, but at the same time, like, for example, you and I, thin line believers were fighting the social media giants for time space, for space. You know, and it's not like YouTube, Rumble are going to say, hey, let's push, you know, Thin Line Believers podcast up the ranks. Let's, you know, it's not like, and it's not like you and I are out there on Instagram and TikTok and we're like the total social influencer. We're not, I'm definitely like not Mike the Cop, right? Where he's able to retire and make good money. We're definitely not Officer Tatum, you know? So, but I think we stand for different values and different beliefs. We, you know, we want to be standing on the firm foundation of the Word of God, you know, from Genesis to Revelation, you know, and for, and we're talking about Whoopi, right? I mean, really, her name is Whoopi. I mean, that in and of itself, but I don't expect her to quote the Bible accurately anyways, you know, and for her to speak a verse, it's like, well, she's not even speaking the truth. She can't eat. She can't, you know?
Yep.
And on that, I think episode, you know, was, I think they got caught where they had to apologize to Turning Point USA for the summit that they were doing in Florida for, because there were people out there with swastikas on that side. Well, they weren't part of the agenda, but I think, and when you were talking, that's why I was reminded of this, you know, Proverbs 30, there is a generation. There is a generation. And the crazy thing is, I learned this from my mom when I was younger, when she would always say, there's going to be a time, there's going to be a generation when this is going to happen. You know, where, you know, the son curses the father, curses the mom, you know, right is wrong, wrong is right. And I'm like thinking, it's all happening now, you know, as we speak. I mean, just not that long ago, what, former President Trump's Mar-a-Lago was raided by the FBI. And I lost it. I was like, wow, okay. We the people need to take our country back. You know, we need to bear arms and take the country back. And I'm like, if I was Governor DeSantis, I would send the National Guard, all the state patrol troopers, send them to Mar-a-Lago and kick them all out, you know, because make it a state issue. You don't, I mean, this is the first time ever, right? That, well, then if they're going to do that, what about Hillary Clinton? What about Hunter Biden? You know, what about Obama? I mean, the list can go on and on and on. And I'm definitely even going to be praying harder for President Trump because he's going to need it, you know. But having said that,
oh, yeah.
You know, the bigger scope of things, it's a verse in what, John 16:33, you know, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And that's where I think as believers, we have to find solace and we have to find strength. And what's hard, you know, and I pray for you because you wear the uniform now. I stopped wearing the uniform, but I'm doing it in the position of a pastor and as a chaplain, is to find and pray for those officers and firefighters to stand on truth and not on lies, you know, and to make decisions. Hey, I can't go out and do that. They're like, why? It's a command. Why? No, I can't go on. You can write me up, but I cannot go out and do that. That violates the oath that I took against the Constitution for whatever state that I'm in and the Constitution of the United States of America. I cannot go do that. And that's where I don't understand some of these FBI agents that are going in. Someone on the top is telling them it's been okay. I've been given a, you know, a thumbs up to go do it. This is going to violate the Constitution. I don't care what kind of warrant you guys are going to write. This is a violation of the Constitution. And this is where I'm just like, okay. And, you know, it's not like Trump doesn't have money. That guy's got money. And you know he's going to find some top attorneys. And, you know, and I'm hoping those that Trump assisted and helped are going to come alongside and in a fight. Because in these crazy times where we have to, like, who would have thought that we're confused about gender? Right? Like, you and I have written in enough reports where you write their name, date of birth, their gender, where it's male and female. There's no other options, M or S, right? Their height and their weight, their eye color. Like, I can identify as a black or white guy all I want, right? But I'm not. I can lie to myself. And, you know, and you brought up the view, right? I remember when that show started with Barbara Walters. And she was at the time fairly respected as a journalist when journalism was just reporting the news. And but now, I mean, the ratings on The View has tanked in a bad. But at the same time, it's like they're inviting people on The View that are pushing an agenda, right? They could say whatever the hell they want to say. Oh, sorry, we said that. We got to retract what we said. It wasn't part of Turning Point USA's event. It was just a group of people with a swastika, you know. But there's no consequences, right? I don't even know if there's a conservative show out there anymore, but if there was, you know, let's say The Five, I think on Fox, you know, with Greg Gutfeld and Jesse Waters and stuff, if they said something like that, you know, everybody's going to go out and try to cancel. But again, there is a generation, right? Against the fathers, against the mothers, right? And it's funny. They think they're pure in their own eyes. But yet, it's so much sin, so much pride, you know, so much debauchery. And I don't know. I mean, we can go on and on.
Yeah, you know, truth is our founding fathers took up arms for a lot less than this. But here's the thing. That's not how this is going to be won. If it's even going to be won, because personally, I think that these are the last days. And what we need to be doing is looking up. And because I think that the Lord's coming for his church here real quick. And if you're a saved person, that's a very exciting thing. So as I look around and I see the world in chaos, crumbling, war, you know, with Taiwan soon to come, war in Ukraine. Side note, the three countries that condemned this past week of this tiff between Israel and the Gaza Strip there, right? The ones that condemned it? Iran and Russia, right? Turkey, Iran, mm-hmm. Russia. Interesting. Those are the three that condemned it. And we see that in Ezekiel 38. So if you haven't read that one, check it out. But the point is, the only way that we're ever going to come back from this is if people were turned back to God. That's it. It's simple, but it's so hard. You know, the word says, if my people will humble themselves and turn back to me, I will save their lands. That's what we have to do. And you know what has been done in the past? the Jesus movement, right? I can't remember what the figure was, but I heard somebody, I wish I could remember what it was, but there's every so many years here in the United States, there's a revival. And it's almost like clockwork, and we're due for another one. But I don't know if it's going to happen this time. You know, I pray that it does. And I have been praying for a revival for a long time, because that will pull us out of this pit that we're in right now. And nothing else will. But the very first place that it starts is with you and me, with the listener. It takes us getting into the Word, being bold in our faith, sharing our faith. The Great Commission says go into the world and mm-hmm. preach the gospel. We have lost that. We're comfortable in our religiosity or whatever. It's, you know, there's too many of us that want to go play church, but we don't really want to live the relationship with Christ. And so we have become the church of Laodicea. It says, because you're neither hot nor cold, but you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth.
Yeah.
It's a terrifying place to be. But
yeah, I know.
Love your neighbor, man.
Yeah, I know there's a quote out there, and Jonathan Edward is, you know, given credit for it, but I don't think it was him who said it, but it's something like, to set yourself on fire so that others can come watch me burn. People said that it was Jonathan Edwards, and I've, you know, actually given him credit for that, but after just doing some research, I don't think it was Jonathan Edwards, and we really don't know who said that. Just because I think Jonathan Edwards gave that crazy fiery sermon. But I've just realized yesterday I shared a message on how we give out the gospel message, right? And in the word message is the word mess. And many times, and many of us, we are in a mess. And in that mess, only God could take our mess, massage it, twist it around, tweak it to make us messengers for the message. And you and I both know, if we don't experience, name it what you want to call it, stress, intense scenario, you know, a good cop is never a good cop until he's been in several fights, right? You're not a good trooper if you haven't been in some good pursuits. You're not a good SWAT guy if you haven't been called out for SWAT calls, right? You're not a good firefighter if you haven't fought fires. And you can train all you want. You know, like, for example, you know, in the beginning we talked about CrossFit, right? Rich Froning brought on different team members every single year when he went over to the team side. And soon as he joined the teams, he has not lost, right? So he's won all these medals, but he's been in the fire. He's been in the trenches, and there's something being in hot water. And we all know, like the incense, like the, you know, frankincense, you know, all those spices, the only time the fragrance and the flavor is drawn out is if it's crushed and if it's in hot water. And we as believers, when we face hot water times, hot watery times, what, you know, effervescence, what fragrance, what scent are we giving out? Are we giving out a bitter, you know, stressed out, like, ugh, stretch situation? Or, you know what, I'm in the Lord. The Lord knows what's going on. I don't understand it, but I trust the Lord. And, you know, there's a guy that goes to my church. And if you were a CHP officer in California, you would have been on the scene, because it was, you know, accident reconstruction type stuff. Well, he was struck by a wrong way driver on the interstate in San Diego County, demolished his Toyota Tacoma. And when fire and police arrived, they were surprised that he was awake and talking. He got medevaced and he was dead for 4 weeks. They kept him on life support. Over $4 million worth of surgery. You know, and he survived to live. Debt got paid. And he didn't sue the lady or anything. Come to find out the wrong way driver, she was suffering from brain cancer and they didn't know that. You know, when they found out and you know, when they tested her and stuff like that, they're like, oh, she's got brain cancer, you know. But my buddy Butch, who, you know, he's in a scooter, you know, barely able to walk. He's a living testimony of that resiliency in the gospel and in the power of God. And to whatever mess that we're in, mold and shape us to be a messenger, right? For the gospel message. I think a lot of times we are in a mess. We know that, but we don't allow the Lord and the Holy Spirit to make us messengers for the message. And I think many times, even as first responders, we have this mentality. I wear the uniform, therefore it's my job to help. But then we don't allow others to help us. And we go to drinking, we go to porn, we go to movies, we go to whatever hobby or vice it is. When we know better to turn to the Lord or to the pastor or to the men's ministry leader, hey, can I pull you aside? And this is just between us. I need your freaking prayers, man. I am hurting. Right? Because how many first responder friends we know are hurting, but yet they don't ask for help and then reach out. And like you said, it's no longer helping a brother out anymore. Right? It's no longer, it's like the younger generation. It's like, yeah, no, whatever. And I've seen a little bit more even with like, younger cops and younger firefighters, like they just do their own thing, you know, and they don't, I don't know if they've yet to learn the camaraderie, but it's like they're sticking to themselves. And I'm like, dude, that's not how police and fire works. When crap hits the fan, we go. Right. And I think the Christian church has significantly, astronomically have dropped the ball on that. You know, and like, you know, with monkeypox, you know, rising everywhere, I'm like, oh no, they're going to try to shut our country again with this whole monkeypox, you know. So, but not to banter any more longer, but I think, you know, it's like when we go camping, right? We bring fire, we bring wood, and outside of electricity, when you're out in the woods, we know once you get a fire going, to keep it going, you got to add fuel. Right? And all I know to do is if I keep adding the Word of God in my heart, and I'm asking the Holy Spirit to charge me, then I need to stay fueled. In yesterday's message, you know, I shared on, remember on Acts chapter, the last portion of Acts chapter 8, when the Holy Spirit told Philip, hey, go attach yourself to the Uber chariot and speak to the Ethiopian eunuch, right? He didn't say, oh, let me second guess this. You know, I'm going to go where? To the eunuch, right? But he said that he ran there and then he heard him read Isaiah. And he asked, do you understand? So when I was looking at, he ran, like, that's like you and I, when, you know, when you're the rookie, you just got to the station. You're not just trotting. If you're asked by a commander or a sergeant to do something, you're doing it with the hustle, right? When they're asking you to, hey, Boots, can you do this for me real quick? You're like, who do you think I am? No. You do it with zeal. You do it with passion. And you do it with enthusiasm. And And I did a little bit of word study on that. Like the Greek definition of zeal, passion, and enthusiasm is all similar. But the Greek word for enthusiasm was neat because it's actually entheos, right? Theos meaning divine. And the Greek definition is being full of the divine. And so I thought, man, that is so needed for me in my own study, where I need to be filled with the Word of God and I need to be filled with the Spirit of God so that I can be charged. You know, like it's our firearms check, right? When you go out on duty, got one in the chamber, right? Take out the taser, let it test, boom, lock and load. Let's go. I'm charged, ready to go. And I'm realizing like all the stuff that we go through as first responders, we can apply to our Christian life. You know, like when a Christian says, let's put on the whole armor of God, and you've been a soldier, firefighter, or a cop, that takes on a whole different meaning. If you think about it, because it's like, wow, I need to put on the spiritual whole armor before I put on physical armor. And in these last days, I need that in theos. Like I need the, how do you say it? The infilling of the Spirit in such a way that, you know, it's just different. You know, there's a different aura. There's a different energy. And I think that's the type of revival we need as individuals. Yeah. Is for us to be in charge and in fire for God, you know? And so anyways, I can keep going, but I don't want
to. Yeah, for sure. That's good. I hadn't expected it to come around here, but this is a good spot. This is a good spot. And
put on the whole armor, folks.
Christian soldier, put on the full armor. What's funny is I just read that yesterday. I just read that yesterday because I was thinking about the, you know, the arrows, the flaming arrows of the enemy, you know, the shield of faith. So what does the Holy Spirit do for you? Mainly, the Holy Spirit gives you a boldness in your faith to go forth and fulfill the Great Commission. If you wonder why there are some people that are so bold in their faith and share their faith so easily, it's probably the Holy Spirit. Well, how do I get the Holy Spirit? Well, you don't just work hard for it, you know. So we'll do it like this. Father in heaven, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this opportunity to pray and to seek your face and to share the word with the listener. Lord, for the listener, anybody who wants the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we know that when we come to the faith that your Holy Spirit comes upon us. But it's when we ask for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that we are empowered by that Spirit to go out and do your good works. So any of these listeners, Lord, that have that desire to be bold in their faith, that have that desire to be filled with the Spirit, to be given gifts of the Spirit, Lord, we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit upon them, that your Spirit would empower them for the ministry to do good things for your glory, Lord, and that they would have the privilege, just like me and Michael have, to see people come to faith, the privilege to see your Holy Spirit at work. And that is really why we want the Holy Spirit upon us, Lord, is to be a part of what you're doing, because what you're doing is amazing.
Amen.
And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's that simple. It's if you want to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, all you got to do is ask the Lord. Ask the Lord. Asking is the easy part. You just have to do it. So, Mike, good conversation. Thanks, brother. And to those listening, I really do. I want to motivate you to live a life of faith, because it's getting so rare, and we need more people that are outspoken in their faith. God doesn't need us to fulfill his commission but he allows us to be used for that. And that's a pretty awesome privilege. So until next time, Mike, thanks for bringing the Sons Out, Guns Out. Appreciate that. Attaboy. Nice.